We're certainly thankful that you are here today, thankful that all of us can be here together. I appreciate so much the prayers that you've offered on my behalf and Becky's behalf during this past week. It's been a roller coaster week, and hopefully things will settle down quickly. We're ready for that. When I sent out my sermon topics and the verses that go with it to several people, song leaders and those working on the bulletin and so forth. And I pretty well figured that someone was going to email me back and say, "Are you sure you spelled this correctly?" And it did happen. We are going to be talking about agape love, but we're also going to be talking about agape love in connection with this. Do you know the difference between marbles and grapes? If you don't, I wouldn't want to send you to the grocery store, I don't think. Have you ever tried to shoot grapes? You know, we used to shoot marbles when we were kids, and that was a lot of fun. But I just can't imagine trying to shoot grapes. If you've ever played marbles, you know that you put them in a bag and they maintain their individuality. They may smash into each other. They may roll over one another. They may be crowded up against one another. But when it is time to play marbles and you pour them out of the bag, they're usually is very little evidence that the marbles had ever been together in the same bag. You know, there are a number of differences, obviously, between grapes and marbles. If you buy a bag of grapes and treat them like a bag of marbles, you will not end up with the same result. They will also run into each other. They will roll into one another. And they will crowd right up next to one another. But they also bleed on each other. And when the grapes are poured out of the bag, there is abundant evidence that they have been very close to other grapes. Some Christians are like marbles. They can assemble together on Sunday, as we have done today. They can sit in the same auditorium. They can sing the same songs, pray the same prayers, listen to the same sermons. And yet, they do not appear to have been meshed together with their fellow Christians. And then there are other Christians who are more like grapes. After the very same worship and observing the Lord's Supper and fellowship experiences as the marble Christians, they depart the auditorium with clear evidence that they have bled on one another. So we think about grape Christians or agape love Christians so much that they will share their lives and not be afraid to bleed on others nor to be bled on. Agape Christians certainly don't confine their spiritual fellowship to Sundays and to Wednesdays. They have so much love for one another that they will share their lives and not be afraid to bleed. I think this is basically what Paul was teaching in Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. The natural tendency of every person is to please himself or herself first. The humanistic philosophy of our nation is that self is number one. And even within the body of Jesus Christ, that is the church, there are many professing Christians who pursue self-pleasure instead of self-sacrifice. And often this is even done under the guise of spirituality. It is admittedly difficult to seek the welfare of other people above your own desires when it is unnatural, and when you are bombarded with conflicting philosophies of life. But that is precisely the reason that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write what he did in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, or some translations say, held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What great love Jesus showed to you and me. And not just to you and me, but to all of the world, and particularly to all who would accept him as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the one that God sent to change the world and save the world from their sins. You know, Christ never taught us to lift up ourselves and to look down on other people. And what if he had done that with us? He taught that when we lift up others, he will also lift us up. And we could spend a great deal of time analyzing who is weak and who is strong, according to the text. The Jews believed that the Gentiles were extremely weak. The Gentiles believed the Jews were heathen. They hated one another. And the Gentiles certainly thought the Jews were heathen, but the Jews thought that they were certainly the gift of God, which they were blessed by God to bring Christ into the world. But in reality, each one of them and each one of us has strengths and weaknesses. At the very same time, it is possible for us to be weak and to be strong. In one area of our lives, we can be very susceptible, while being strong fortresses in other areas of our lives. We can also be helpers and recipients of help at the same time. Our strength comes from God. And in our weaknesses, God's strength can be more fully manifested. We like to think of ourselves as strong, and when we are strong, then other people can see that strength and be strong also, and there is truth to that. But Paul said that it was in his weaknesses that God was glorified. We need to remember that. In our times of weakness, we can glorify God, and others can glorify God because of our lives. Now, Paul did not intend for us to engage in a theological exposition of the strong and the weak. Instead, he issued an apostolic command that was intended to be universally obeyed by every Christian. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Romans chapter 15 and verse 2. And Paul could have certainly used himself as an illustration of self-sacrifice and service to others, but he chose to use the example of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate sacrificer and giver of love. It was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 and 23, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak, having become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." We are to be loving. We are to be accepting. We are to be tolerant of one another. And through love and patience, we are to bleed on one another and therefore become more loving of one another. You know, as you think about the life of Jesus Christ, you think of how that he spent so much time discipling those who were following after him, teaching them, hoping that they would learn. And I've often wondered, were there times when Jesus might have preferred doing something more personally fulfilling than what he did? We're told by those who are psychiatrists and psychologists that we need diversions in our lives, and I think that's probably true. But when I look at the life of Jesus Christ, I don't see him having diversions. Everything he did was to glorify his Father. He would pray. He would teach. He would encourage. He would rebuke. He did all of these things in order to bring people closer to God. And yet, through all this, he was patient and long-suffering with his slow learning disciples, and probably is today with some of us who are slow learners as well. I know that I am at times, and you probably are too. He recognized the importance of both the masses and the individual, giving sufficient time to both. His ministry was never directed to those from whom he could personally benefit, but rather his ministry was always directed to people to whom he could personally help. And certainly that's the way that our lives should be in following the example of Jesus Christ. I will do more than belong. I will participate. I will do more than care. I will help. I will do more than believe. I will practice. I will do more than be fair. I will be kind. I will do more than forgive. I will work. I will do more than earn. I will enrich. I will do more than teach. I will inspire. I will do more than give. I will serve. I will do more than live. I will grow. I will do more than be friendly. I will be a friend. Christians are to glorify God by a grape love or agape love that bleeds together. It is so important that the church of our Lord be a loving and caring family. It is essential that we lift up our voices in spiritual harmony to praise and glorify our God. It is so important that when we partake of the Lord's Supper that we are one. We are not just partaking as individuals, but we are partaking as the very body of Jesus Christ, fellowshipping, participating with him in his death and awaiting the time that he comes again. You know, you can't do this as a church, and you hear of some churches who have the problem of fault finding and feuding and being intolerant of one another. And I'm so thankful that we're not that kind of church. I'm so thankful that we can observe the love that we have one another and that for one another, and that we can encourage each other. We can help each other. Notice what Paul said. Please your neighbor. Be of one accord. Lift up one voice. Accept one another just as Christ accepted us. He loved us, and he forgave us, despite our own shortcomings. And we are to love others and forgive others, despite their shortcomings. He lifted us up instead of putting us down. He accepted our sinfulness when he accepted us. And when we gather together, let's not be a bag of marbles who just brush up against one another, but never get very close. Let's be a bunch of grapes who bleed all over each other in love and concern and encouragement and sweet fellowship in Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that this sermon this morning has helped you, encouraged you to be more like Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we hope that you will do that while we stand and while we sing.